We're very thankful that you've joined us today for the Word for Life radio ministry at Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and for the next few times, we want to look at the life of Abraham, a guy just like us. As he had his struggles, he was a great man of faith, but yet it wasn't something that just kind of happened by osmosis. It was something that God taught him. And it's the same thing with us. I know we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, but you know, so many times it's just so much easier to walk by sight until we realize how blind we really are. And then we begin to say, okay, Lord, how does that faith walk business work? And that's exactly what Abram learned. I was 44 when I finally graduated with my doctorate degree, and graduation was especially sweet after all of those years of study and various master's degrees and things like that. But, you know, getting a doctorate doesn't mean that my learning is done. It doesn't mean that schooling is done. Far from it. Because the Lord always has another school that he wants you to enroll in. And often he doesn't ask us to apply. He just enrolls us in that. And that's the school of faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So we have to learn how to walk by faith. So we look at the life of Abram as his walk began in Genesis chapter 12. And it says, "The Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, to the plain of Morah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, we're going to see in Abram's beginning journey of faith that faith is having a ministry to him, just like it has a ministry to you and me. And when I am developing faith, it will develop me. Now, the first thing that we see in Abram's life is that faith will bring you out. God said, "Now, Abram, you're living in Ur of the Chaldees. It's a great place to live if you don't care about serving me." But Abram did. And so he said to Abram, "I want to bring you out. I want to take you to a new land, a new place where you and your descendants can multiply and a great nation can be developed." And so to do that, God, first of all, had to focus on his ears, his ears. The Bible says there in verse 1 that God had said unto Abram, "Get out of thy country." Hearing God's voice. You know, it kind of reminds me of the verse in Revelation that says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." And the same thing is true for us. We need to have ears for the Lord's direction. And as we consider that, we look at the story of Abram here, and God told him, "Okay, I want you to go to a country that I'm going to be showing you." And he gave him some promises. "I'll be with you and I'll make your name great and I'll give you a great nation." But you know, the amazing thing is the fact that his ears heard no explanations. Now, we don't like that, because when you and I are wanting to go on with our lives, we kind of want to be in control. We want to know what's going on and we want to know how things are going to be working. Amazingly, there was nothing in these 9 verses that indicated that God ever told Abram anything concerning what and how and where. He just gave him promises. because he wanted him to learn to live by faith. And faith is not asking for explanations, but it's listening to promises. And the same thing is true for you and me. And we have some fantastic promises. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will guide thee with mine eye. We have some tremendous promises. I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. But yet so many times we're not happy with the promises. We want to know the explanations. No, that's not the walk of faith. And so consequently, as the Lord begins to teach you and focusing on your ears, he wants you to focus on his promises. You remember years ago when there used to be a promise box on many of the kitchen tables? And every day, sometime during the day, the family would gather breakfast or supper, and they would pull out a promise, and they would read that promise. I did when I was a kid. And that was an amazing little box because it seemed like those promises never ran out. In fact, there were 365 promises for 365 days. But you know, one of the sweetest promises that I ever heard was a promise that God gave me in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. I was facing one of the most difficult times of my life in ministry. It seemed as if everything was going wrong, and it seemed as if everything I tried to do as a pastor, well, just wasn't appreciated. And they wanted other things to be happening, and I was really beginning to question whether or not I even needed to stay in the ministry. And thank God for a godly man that just stopped by the house one day, and he said, "Pastor, I'm just going to read one verse to you and then pray, and then I'm gone." I thought, okay. He opened his Bible to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, and it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Wow. And when he said that, I thought, well, Lord, you're about the only one that doesn't forget my work and labor of love, because it seems like I can visit people at the hospital in the middle of the night and marry their kids and bury their dead. And then if I do something that they don't like, everything's forgotten. But the promise says God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The deacon read the verse, prayed, and left. But that's all he had to do. Because I realized that, you know, that promise is awesome. God's promise not to forget what you are doing for him. And the Bible says, toward his name. And all of the service that you are rendering for the name of Christ, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your home, your marriage, whether it be with your friends, whether it be in your local church, or as a ministry outside your local church, wherever it is, God is not unfaithful to forget it. And when Abram began to learn that he could trust God's promises, then he didn't demand explanation. Now, you can imagine Abram telling his wife Sarah, "Now, Sarah, God's spoken to me, and he wants us to sell everything we got here, and he wants us to move." And she says, "Well, where does he want us to go?" And he said, "I don't know." And she said, "Now, Abram, how are we supposed to even head in the right direction if we don't know where we're going?" And he said, "I don't know. But God, I'm sure, will direct us." You can imagine how that conversation went. You know, many times when you're trying to follow the Lord and listen to his promises, there will be others that find it real difficult to understand. And that's why God has to give them ears of faith as well. Because, you see, God had told Abram, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will make your name great." Now, it's interesting that this follows chapter 11. That's where all the people gathered together, and they decided they were going to build a huge tower called the Tower of Babel. Because they said, "We want to make us a name." Yeah, that's interesting. They wanted to make a name, and God said, "No. It's for your name and your fame." No, because they were trying to forget God. But when Abram said, "Lord, I will follow you," Abram got a promise. God said, "I will make your name great. Now, the same thing is true for you and me. It's not so that people can think of how significant we are, but it's to make us a blessing to the entire world. That was the reason God made Abram's name great, because through his line would come the Lord Jesus Christ. And through your witness and testimony, God can bless your world and the world around you. You know, too many people pray today, I want a blessing, instead of praying, I want to be a blessing. Somebody well said that that's a cure for depression, praying a prayer every day, Lord, I want to be a blessing today. Help me to be a blessing today. You don't stay depressed very long when you're focusing your attention on others instead of on yourself. So the ministry of faith first is to your ears, listening to God. And then there's a ministry of faith to your eyes. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 says, and he said, men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abram when he was in Mesopotamia. The glory of God appeared unto Abram. And he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. You know, you can tell a man of faith by his eyes. He saw the glory of God, and they began to look for a city, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 10, whose builder and maker was God. He stopped looking at everything around him and started looking at the Lord. Now, it was sometime later, but you remember when Abram and Sarah and Lot came back from Egypt after they'd gone down there because of the famine? And the land was too sparse for all of the herds of Lot and Abram. And Abram said to Lot, now you choose where you want to live. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and his eyes were on Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abram's eyes were on God. On God. You see, when you and I recognize that God is the source of our provision, then we stop looking at people and we stop looking at circumstances. In fact, at the end of chapter 14, we see a fantastic story of Lot and his family were carried away captive by five kings who came in and conquered the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram decided, I'm going to go after them. He had 318 servants, and so he armed all of them, and they took off after them. And they got everybody and brought them back. But then there was a most amazing statement that was said to Abram when he came back. And that statement changed Abram's life. It will change your life as well. But we're going to have to wait until next time to see what that statement was that caused his eyes to be focused in a heavenward direction. I trust that your walk of faith will be strengthened as a result of your time in the Word today. God bless you.